Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. You may be seated. Have you ever heard of the war on Christmas? What is the war on Christmas? Well, different renditions of it you might hear. It used to be that it was not okay to say Merry Christmas for a while there. The culture kind of said, you can't say that, it's too offensive. Better not say Merry Christmas, better just make it Happy Holidays or something generic, something that's all-inclusive. I think there was a little pushback from the Christians and maybe the world too. Even the Jews helped us out and said, you know, it's okay, let the Christians say Merry Christmas, it's okay. And so there's a little bit of a pendulum swing back and forth whether how much people accept these greetings and if they don't. I don't know where we're at today for sure, but there is a war on Christmas in that sense. Another way you might detect the war on Christmas is I drove around yesterday. What happened in the stores? What happened in a lot of people's homes? Trees came down, lights came off, no more Christmas. And you might say, well, is that part of the war on Christmas? Well, kind of. I mean, the early church, and often for many, many thousands of years even, church was 12 days. What happened? We just reduced it down to a day, and then we're done. You know, an hour on Christmas Eve in church, an hour on Christmas Day, and hey, let's get the trees down and put them away. Maybe in part because people have extended Christmas right after, what, Halloween? Started it there. And then that brings up another point. That's the war on Advent. And somebody in the Federalist Papers wrote a whole article about the war on Advent, the idea that we need a time to prepare for Christmas, a season of repentance and renewal, waiting, expecting our Savior to come. There's a war on that, just but replaced by the seasons, the greetings, the holiday, Christmas. So you might say that. However, this year in USA Today, there was an article that came out that said, you know, there's always been a war on Christmas, but really we should be more concerned about the war on Christians. And it was an interesting article. It reported that Christians are the number one religious group in the whole world that suffers persecution. And I was at the gym yesterday, I saw even one major news outlet was showing the 12 countries it's most dangerous to be a Christian today. North Korea and Iran are on there. And talked about people down in South America that would like to be in America at our seminaries, and because of our regulations, they can't be. And it's kind of a war, and they're worried about them being persecuted by their own country or by other religious groups majorly in such a way that there's a war on Christians. And we should be concerned and should pray for those who are Christians throughout the world. And that's true, we should. More than that, I would suggest today we hear something in our text. Not really the war on Christmas or the war on Christians, which we're concerned about, but really the war that began with the war on Christ. Matthew chapter 2 today, we hear about the war on Christ, King Herod, and the Christ child Jesus, a conflict, a war, if you will. The champion, of course, is God. The chump, if you will, is Herod, as you hear in the text. He's seeking to remove the Christ from the earth because it threatens his power, his authority. We hear about the champion and the chump. Let's think about those two just for a brief moment. First, the champion. What we learn about the champion today in the text is that the champion works behind the scenes to protect the Holy Family. How did he do that? Well, I talked to the kids about it. He sent an angel to tell Joseph to take the child and rise and go down into Egypt. It's a wonderful prophecy being fulfilled there too, though. Moses went down into Egypt, or was in Egypt, and he was the deliverer for God's people. Joseph went down to Egypt to save the sons of Joseph from famine. Egypt is a prophetic place for a leader of Israel to rise, and that also fulfilled that prophecy we heard in the text today. Out of Egypt, I called my son. There was a Joseph that went down into Egypt, not just Jesus' father, but Joseph from the Old Testament, who also had dreams. And also there was a king down in Egypt who also declared the murder of innocent children. Part of the reason Moses was saved in a basket. And part of the reason why Moses turned and had a war against Pharaoh to save God's people from Egypt, from the persecution that they endured there. Out of Egypt, I called my son. God fulfilled the prophecy by Jesus going down into Egypt, by sending that angel. He was working behind the scenes. And he says, Jesus is my son. Out of Egypt, I called my son. A reminder of what Christmas is all about. God is working behind the scenes to bring us salvation. Does God work behind the scenes for us today? Well, the psalm says so. God's holy angels can even look over our footsteps at times. And God works behind the scenes also, you might say, through the gifts he brings here at church. Word and sacrament. He's working in the word, in our ears, in our hearts. And he's working in the sacrament, the reminder of our baptism, where he worked incognito there. And he works in the bread and the wine to bring us salvation freely as a gift that we can taste and touch and see. He's working behind the scenes always. The chump. Remember, the chump is the one who's trying to remove Christ, God's son, from the earth. That's Herod in our text. A few things about the chump. Number one, he sets care and self-preservation of self above care and self-preservation or preservation of others, doesn't he? He's more concerned about his rule, his kingdom, his power, than any prophecy of God coming true. Any threat to his power, he's willing to squash, to try to posture, to maneuver, to get rid of. He cares really about number one, himself. And that's so, so, so unlike the heart of God, as we hear in the whole of the Bible. A God who comes to be with us, to sacrifice himself for us, to give of his life that we might have life. A God who enjoys and rejoices in the help of the helpless. So unlike the heart of God. So unlike his ways. Herod, the chump. Secondly, Herod adopted, hands down, the worst ethical system ever, I would suggest. Wouldn't you? Let me explain. Herod's combatant is Jesus. Just one child, one baby child. He's the combatant, right? But what does he do? It's an inconvenient child at an inconvenient time and a could-be king. But since Herod cannot identify him specifically, he decrees that all the male children, 2 years old and younger, should die in Bethlehem. Even before Jesus could fight or flee himself, he wants to kill the child. It's a terrible ethical system, wouldn't you say? Terrible moral standards. Rotten. And Herod enacts this heaven-crying sin of mass murder of anyone of the same gender, same region, and same age group as the Christ child. All the males in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. We'd call this gendercide. The killing of males only here. Infanticide, we'd call it. Killing of infants. And even neonatalcide, I had to look that one up, first 24 hours of life, because it was everyone 2 years old and younger. The fifth commandment in God's word is intended to protect the lives of all people. He gave to Israel, he gives to all of us in our hearts, you shall not kill. That includes gender, that includes region, that includes age. Though Herod didn't kill the elderly, in this text, we have the fifth commandment, you shall not murder. We should protect the elderly, should we not? Because it's not an age discrimination thing. Though Herod didn't here kill babies in the womb, we know it's not right to kill based on age. It's not right to take anyone's life, the fifth commandment. It's a form of age discrimination, isn't it? Because murderers don't last, God brings all unrepentant evildoers to a just end. That's what his word declares. Herod the chump dies. We heard it in our text. He had to go meet the Maker and give an account for every evil deed he has ever done, every injustice performed, every heaven-crying murder, and to try to give excuses for his evil, self-serving heart that is so unlike the heart of God, the heart of mercy and help for the helpless. There's an everlasting place for Herods. It's called hell. It's called Hades. It's full of excuses, but it's empty of escape. All chumps like Herod will one day go behind the scenes to meet the champion and receive their just reward. With Herod's death, the war on Christ suffered a major setback, a blow. Though it wasn't a knockout, a new Herod took the old Herod's seat. Or as I believe St. Peter said, the devil still prowls around seeking someone to devour, and he'll plot other ways to destroy the Christ. That's what chumps do. He'll rejoice at the cross, but he'll reel at the resurrection. And at the consummation yet to come, the devil's work will be trampled underfoot forever, cast into the eternal lake of fire. Then there will be no more war on Christmas. Then there will be no more war on Christians. Then the war on Christ will turn into worship with a multitude that no one can number. And we can include those holy innocents too who died for Christ's sake. There will be no age discrimination. There, no genocide or gendercide, no infanticide, no aborticide, nor euthanasia. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. Irony. Jesus and the Holy Family returned to Israel after the death of the chump. The champion worked behind the scenes to tell Joseph again in a dream that it would be safe to return. They withdrew to Galilee to avoid Archelaus, Herod's son, and thereby fulfilled God's word once again for our public eyes and ears. He shall be called a Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. Every son of a champion deserves a good start. Every child deserves a good start. The child of God becomes our champion. So the chumps of the earth are sent empty away. And so heaven will be full of children of God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your thoughts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.